Hello and welcome to a new episode of Other Record Labels. I'm your host, Scott Orr, where we talk about the art and culture of running an independent record label. I love the idea that we've been teasing lately on this show about how record label owners are creatives. It's a bit of a breakthrough, I think. And of course, we're businesses, entrepreneurs, coaches, and all that, but we're also creatives, and we should be more creative than we are. But there are things that prevent us from being creative. Some are real things, some are things we imagine and put on ourselves. And today we're going to crack open some of the creative blockers out there. First of all, a huge shout out to our newest sponsor, A to Z Media, which are a bespoke manufacturing service for today's music industry. They do vinyl and physical media. They're experts since 1994. Gosh, I missed the 90s, mid-90s, late 90s. I'd love to go back for a few days. Not too long because I'd probably miss the internet. But man, those mid to late 90s, I feel like we're a little bit of a golden era. I mean, I guess at any time you're young is a golden era. Anyway, sorry, I'm forgetting what I'm talking about here. These guys, A to Z Media, have been around making records for over 30 years. And so a huge thank you to them for supporting indie music and supporting our indie record label community. Reach out to them to get a quote on your next CD, tape, or vinyl manufacturing project. They do really crazy stuff too, like gorgeous packaging projects you can see on their website. And as you've heard over the years, I'm a big fan of artwork and packaging. So I'm a huge fan of what they do. And some of the labels in our community use them and have done some great work with them. So go to atozmedia.com. That's the letter A, T-O, the letter Z, or for anyone who's not American, Z, A2Z, or A2ZMedia.com. So thanks to them for sponsoring. Now, let's segue this week's sponsor into this week's topic, and that's creativity. But more importantly, it's about creative blockers, things we allow to block our creativity. And the reason I mentioned creativity with manufacturing and pressing vinyl from our sponsor is because creative blockers prevent us from getting to that beautiful point of when we can actually press the music onto record, hold it in our hands, see it in a record store. So today we're going to look at the three biggest creative blockers and how to overcome them. I love this topic. I love that we've been kind of dabbling a little bit this year in the creative side of things. We're kind of stepping away from, you know, kind of the more day-to-day record label stuff. And we've talked about innovation. We've talked about collaboration. And today we're talking a little bit about what hinders creativity. If this topic hits home for you personally, I love it. I have some books that I think you might need to read. I'm going to link to them along with the notes from today's episode at otherrecordlabels.com/creativity. The link is in the description of this episode as well. But there's four books I really like. I'm not going to go into them today. I think I've reviewed them before. I've probably talked about them a lot. But I'll link to them and you can check them out on our page. There's a book called The Creative Curve by Alan Gannett. There's a really old book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. I recently picked that up in a little library outside my house. There's a book called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, which is brand new. And I found that to be really inspiring, helped me make a record recently. And then the book of all books, the Bible of creativity, and that is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. I know I've told you guys, a lot of you guys about that. It is an unmissable book. You have to read The War of Art. All of these are really good. They have one thing in common too, that they're dispelling the myth that creativity comes in the form of a lightning bolt, that creativity comes only when the gods allow it. When you're in the right mental space, when the stars align, when you have the right studio gear, when you read the right poetry, wear the perfect clothes, drink nice coffee, buy a MacBook, or buy a better guitar. No, nor is creativity reserved for addicts or for the tortured or the rich or the poor or experts or so-called prodigies. No, creativity is accessible to everyone at any time. But for a lot of us, we don't believe that. And so we cling on to these three creative blockers that actually give us permission to not release that record, to not book studio time, to not upload that YouTube video, or to not start a record label. And these creative blockers are excuses, and they feel like legit reasons to delay. By the way, in case you're like, Scott, you're being all holier than thou, like as if you've got this all figured out. These three creative blocks are my own. These are things that I still struggle with on a day-to-day basis, and I have kind of wrestled with over the years. And so these are mine. Maybe there's some that you have, and I'd love to know. You can send me an email or leave a comment on YouTube or post it in our Facebook group. But these are the big ones. Number one is comparison, right? This is a huge one. And it comes in the form of social media. And why is social media a problem? Well, social media is basically this curated, somewhat fake, if not entirely fake, exaggerated at the very least. Think of how much effort goes into your own social media posts, the angles, the lighting, the filter, how you only post when something good has happened to you or you have something funny to share or something to brag about. This is a huge thing. By the way, I'm going to just be a little transparent here. The same thing for me, when I do the video versions of these episodes, I mean, we kind of have this like look like I turned on the camera and you're in my studio and I'm just talking, but it's like the position where I'm sitting has been like a trial and error for years of finding like the perfect lighting. I always make sure I got my hair cut too and I shave before and I look in the background and I'll adjust things a little bit. I'll move a plant, I'll move a book so I look a little sophisticated. You see the recording gear in the background. There's like some shadows that are lit up by lighting. You know what I mean? It's like you turn on the camera, you watch a YouTube video and everyone looks at it and goes, oh, this guy has a cool space. He's got things figured out. But it's like, no. We're spending hours making sure this is right, you know? And that's just me. And I'm not an influencer. I'm not even the demographic of those people who are doing it crazy. And so when we compare ourselves to social media, what a huge problem. So I think a big solution to this, especially if it is becoming a creative blocker, is to do a couple things. First of all, if you must, just get off it, right? Get off it. Unfollow the people that are making you jealous. Unfollow the people who are making you feel inadequate or who are distracting you. And remember this, because really, I mean, you can delete the apps altogether. You can unfollow the people who are giving you problems. You can set up some sort of limitations, but that's hard to do. And it's hard to do in the long term because I've deleted all of the apps before and then I've got them all back. I've logged out and just used the browser version and logged out. And so it makes it hard for me. I've hidden the app on my phone deep in a folder. And so if I actually want to use one of those apps, I have to go to the browser version, log in. So it's kind of arduous, but I end up still doing it. I end up still kind of falling into that trap. And so the mantra that I think can really help you with this comparison is to create, don't consume. Don't be like a consumer all day long and just consuming other people's content. To put down your phone and to go and create something and be part of that side of the equation of the people who are actually making things that people consume. That's what really motivates me is I'm stuck there in a loop, lying in bed or on the couch. And I'm like, just, you know, reading and consuming and feeling jealous and looking at other people's great work. And I'm like, oh man, I'm a consumer. I really should be a creator in this thing. And this also happens too with other record labels too, not just actual other record labels, but here on our channel, on YouTube and the interviews we have on the podcast, there can be jealousy or feelings of inadequacy. We have some really great labels. We have labels that you might find yourself to be at the same place in your career as them, your peers. But then we might have some labels that you feel like are doing things, are making more money than you, and doing things that you are jealous of and admire. And this is my own origin story and the origin of Other Record Labels podcast. I've told you that in the past before, that I felt alienated from the community. I felt like there were labels who were younger than me that were doing better than me. And so I would just encourage you to remember that when you're comparing yourself to people, of course, on social media, it's fabricated, it's staged. So don't compare to that. The lighting is ideal. But even when we just hear stories of record labels or we see other record labels on interviews or on social media, understand that you're comparing apples to oranges and that use this as just inspiration that there are some labels who have found their own path. You're not going to copy their path. That's not creativity. In fact, competition is the opposite of creativity. So we're not going to just follow their path, be jealous of them and try to do what they're doing. But instead, we're just going to be inspired that they have found a way to make it work. And we're going to find our own way to make it work. And then we'll make people feel jealous of us. Just kidding. Number two creative blocker is procrastination. Namely, writer's block. or lack of inspiration. This is one of the biggest ones. And I will say, as a little bit of bragging, this is my superpower. I no longer believe in writer's block. Writer's block is like waiting for inspiration, right? Feeling bored or lacking motivation. It's this creative block. We will pick up our guitar and everything sounds boring. Everything sounds the same. Maybe we'll open up our laptop and we'll get to writing and we're just left with a blank page. And we call this writer's block. I personally believe there's no such thing as writer's block. And maybe you disagree with me, but the truth of the matter is that if I pick up my guitar right now, I literally could write a song in 10 seconds, right? Is it a good song? Of course not. Is it a generic, boring song that I would never put on an album? For sure. But it just proves the point that there is no such thing as writer's block. Now, there is something where we maybe have been writing for a long time and that we're not producing anything that inspires us or makes us feel excited to do something else. I get it. That's kind of usually what people are talking about when they refer to writer's block. But we can't believe the myth that writer's block actually exists, because we all know that, gun to our head, we can write something. There's a great quote, I forget who said it, but it was like, you know, why should I believe in writer's block? Because my father never believed in truck driver's block. You know what I mean? Referring to the fact that this creative, this writer, his father was a truck driver, and his father would never be like, oh, I can't go to work today. I have truck driver's block. You know what I mean? And it happens in every career. We wouldn't say, yeah, of course we're unmotivated. I get that. But we can always just show up and go to work. And that's really, honestly, my solution to writer's block, or whatever you want to call it, is I will always have this feeling. Some days I'll feel inspired and some days I won't feel inspired. But the reality is just showing up and doing the work anyway is kind of your way of like snow plowing through writer's block. I've written really incredible pieces of music that have gone on to do well in a moment where I didn't feel inspired, when I was in an environment that wasn't inspiring. And to counter that, I've been in an environment that was really inspiring, like, you know, a guitar on a stage in an empty cathedral or something, and nothing came to me, or a great recording studio with a bunch of great gear, and nothing came to me. And then I've been sitting in a playroom with my kids, you know, sitting on a children's chair. And then I wrote a song that would go on to have like a million streams. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just realized that there really is no such thing as writer's block. It's just whether you decide to do the work or not. Then another thing that contributes to procrastination is busy work. And I want to, you know, zone out. I want to zero in on some of the record label owners here who will grab their laptop, go to a coffee shop. Busy work is emails, social media, office work, admin. Feeling busy, but not necessarily productive. Like putting on workout clothes and picking out a workout playlist, but not actually sweating, not actually doing the workout. You know what I mean? Even going to the gym and wandering around and talking to people. That's kind of like the equivalent of record label busy work. And we talked about this in our course, income generating activities. What's really important is that we name it. This is a solution to busy work. Just name it and say, you know what? These tasks, well, they're still important in their own way. They're not really moving the needle. And so we name it and we realize that we need to do the hard stuff. I think it was Mark Twain who said to eat that frog. And it was like, eat a frog first thing in the morning. Don't literally eat a frog, that'll kill you. But if you eat a frog, it's a metaphor, then you know for the rest of the day that you've already done the hardest thing you'll have to do that day. And again, I just want to be clear, please don't sue me if you eat a frog and die. But that's a really good motivator, is to say, when I sit down at my desk, I need to do the hardest thing possible that will move the needle forward. And so a big form of procrastination and a big creative blocker is just being busy. It's just doing things that ultimately don't matter. They're not going to end up on that record. They're just tiny little things that get in the way. And they just kind of delay us from doing what we really should be doing, right? And they're great excuses. Finally, number three creative blocker, the third creative blocker, is perfection. And we see perfection manifest itself in two ways. Number one is overthinking, allowing every small or big decision to derail you, or probably more likely delay you. Or sometimes we're pretending that a small decision is a big decision. And this is one of the things that frustrates me. And I used to experience this a lot in the recording studio. And it's another one of my superpowers that I've recently adopted is I remember doing a session with a musician one time. And the session was maybe 3 or 4 hours. And it was broken up by, you know, drinking coffee and having chats. But any of the recording that we were doing, this musician was like searching through all the presets on my synthesizer, looking for one that would fit the song. And we ended up going through, I mean, there's probably thousands of presets on a lot of these synthesizers. And so we're going through these looking for something. And he was just kind of like overthinking things. I mean, like, yeah, I like that one. I don't know though. And basically just thinking that there was one perfect one out there. And I don't even think we recorded it. We didn't really find anything. And we just ended the session and nothing happened. I see that happen all the time, especially in the studio, whether it's like a, you know, should I do this drum beat or this drum beat or this riff or this riff? Which one's better? They're not really better. They're just lateral decisions. Same things with plugins. It's like, does this reverb sound better? Is this guitar tone sound better? Does this synth patch sound better than the last one? I think that's a form of overthinking. I think it's a form of procrastinating. I think perfectionism in general is a form of procrastinating. And it's honestly, I feel really relieved because it's kind of a superpower that I will just turn the synth on. And usually within the first one or two or three patches that I find, I'll just go with it and I won't overthink it. And I really like that. And I do that even with lyrics. I do that with things where there is a temptation to overthink things, but don't use overthinking or perfectionism as an excuse to delay or fail to start in the first place. We were talking in our label mates group a couple months ago about the name, naming your record label and how stressful that can be. And one of the things I really try to encourage people and really try to communicate is do not spend too much time naming your record label because you most likely are going to be unhappy with it in 5 years or 25 years from now. Very few people are like, oh yeah, that was a great name. I'm glad we stuck with that. In cases where it's a weird name or whatever, it just usually evolves to becoming the name of your record label. And it's not something that anyone has an opinion on unless it's offensive. But it's the point is that a lot of people use that. And this is something that I called out some of our label mates on, is that they'll use that as a way to delay because we're afraid to actually put pen to paper to actually launch the record label. And so we can say that we're still picking a name and that can give us permission to delay and to delay. And it leads me to my final thing in the topic of perfectionism is the imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is the fear of being inadequate. But more than that, it's actually less about diminishing our abilities and kind of artificially elevating our peers or the people we admire. We see others as more successful, more talented, and more worthy of those things than us. And therefore, because of that, we use that as a way to not even try in the first place because they're talented, they're prodigies, they're at a different level, they're more successful, I'll never get there. The discovery that even, and this has happened on our show in interviews, the discovery that I've had that even the biggest indie record label owners in the world still feel this imposter syndrome was pretty enlightening and comforting. The truth is we all move the goalposts in life and in our careers. There's always people that we pine to be more like, and there's always people we're ahead of in some way that makes us feel better about ourselves and our positions. The best way to get over the imposter syndrome is to realize that everyone has it and that we'll probably never rid ourselves of it. There's no grown-ups. There's no police in this business that will shut you down. There's no rules or gatekeepers. We just make up those roles in our minds. People with the imposter syndrome are the hypochondriacs of careers. It's just fear. It's just fear wrapped in another silly justification. And I mean, look at everything we've talked about today. It's pretty much just fear or a concoction of fear, laziness, self-doubt, all given different names. This whole episode is a giant synonym. Jealousy on social media, writer's block, lack of divine inspiration, staying busy on things that don't matter, overthinking, being a perfectionist, procrastinating, being an imposter, they're all the same thing. So here's how we deal with creative blockers. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge them for what they are. They're not real monsters under the bed. It's just fear. So we acknowledge what it is. Then we get to work. We create every day. We create when you're afraid. Create when you're uninspired. Create when you are inspired. I'll tell you just a little anecdote, and this is something I kind of discovered a couple years ago. It doesn't work all the time, but it works for a lot of the time. When I'm feeling kind of depressed or unmotivated, writer's block, if you will, and I'm kind of just lying in bed on my phone or on the couch, and I don't feel like going and working on my album or working on an episode for the podcast or whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing or I could be doing, I often will just tell myself, just go do it. Just go do it. Why? Because if you're sitting around and you're feeling depressed, if you don't go and do it, well, that's not going to fix your depression, right? Sitting around just feeling unmotivated, that's not going to make you feel motivated. You're not going to feel better about yourself by rewarding yourself with not doing the thing. We know that before. That's how procrastination works. It doesn't actually reward us and make us feel better. So we know that sitting around and not doing it is not going to make us feel better. But if we go and do it, there's a chance that we still won't feel better. But at the very least, we'll have finished what we're supposed to be doing. And so I love this idea of like, when I'm not motivated, I just go and do it anyway, because then it increases the chances that I'm going to feel better about getting it done. Or oftentimes, I'll just go up to the studio, I'll edit those vocals, I'll mix that track or whatever, or I'll write that episode that I need to write. And I maybe don't feel any better, but at least the job's done. And then I end up kind of being rewarded from that a day later. I'm like, oh, good thing I finished that. Be creating all the time. If we call ourselves creatives, if we call ourselves writers, if we call ourselves songwriters, then we have to do those things. We can't call ourselves a songwriter if we haven't written a song this week or in this past month or in this past year, right? The absolute core of being a record label is the creativity of our artists and ourselves. The music is the result of our creativity and the creativity of the people we support. Being an entrepreneur, being an artist, a musician, the foundation is creativity. It's the fuel of what we do. So keep doing it. Do it often. Don't worry about doing it well or doing it right. Just do it. Just do it. That might make a good company motto. I'm going to go see if that's available. Go to otherrecordlabels.com/creativity for my book recommendations I talked about at the beginning of the episode and to explore this topic on a deeper level. And go to A2ZMedia.com to take your creativity to the ultimate level by pressing it to vinyl or making cool looking cassettes. And a huge thanks to A2Z for sponsoring today's episode. Thanks for listening.